Today we're wrapping up the series we've been working through the last few weeks called Frequency. The last few weeks we've spent some intentional time like digging in to learning how to better hear the voice of God, to try to really wrap our mind around what that looks like, what that feels like, what God is trying to say to us. And if you've been here, like, I'm going to recap a little bit of it. So we learned that in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, God chose to speak uniquely to people. God was all places at all times, but chose specific people that he would talk to. And oftentimes there was long gaps of silence between when he would speak to people. And then we get into the New Testament of the Bible, and we learn through Jesus that he's brought to us a new covenant, a new agreement between God and his people, where through the Holy Spirit, God would be with us all the time, but also able to speak to us on a regular basis, to speak to us whenever he needed to, whenever he desired to, and we could again speak to him. So Jesus, if you don't know, Jesus comes and he creates this new covenant. He gives his life as a ransom for your life and mine. In the process, he sends the Holy Spirit to us to reestablish the relationship that God desired from the beginning to have with the human beings that he created in his image. A relationship that's incredibly powerful and important in our time here on earth, and a relationship that would extend all throughout eternity. But here's what happens. Oftentimes, Christian folks, we believe that God wants to have a personal relationship with us, but then we live like that relationship will begin once we get to heaven. Like we're just supposed to wait around until we expire here on earth, and then we spend our eternity in heaven where we can actually spend that close personal relationship with God. You might be new here today. Maybe you just came because it's Mother's Day and Mom drug you here and she said, I'll buy you lunch if you go. You might be here today thinking, like, I'm new to this faith stuff. I'm trying to figure this out. And you're telling me that the God who created the universe wants to speak to me in a personal level. You might have even heard this before, that God wants to have a personal relationship with you. I mean, that's a common phrase we use in Christianity. But oftentimes we kind of use that like bait and switch. God wants to have a personal relationship with you. And in a few years or a few decades, when you get to heaven, then it can begin. God wants to have a personal relationship with you. You can talk to him right now, but you've just got to wait patiently for God to speak to you once you die. Like, that's not the way God designed this relationship to be. That's not the way God started this relationship with his people. But we live like it. We live like we really probably can't hear from God. We live like God has gone silent. We live like God has sent us his Holy Spirit to give third base coach signs, and we're supposed to try to figure out how to interpret what God wants us to know. Through Jesus, the God of the universe wants each of us to have a personal relationship with him today. And as you read through the scriptures, as you read back through the scriptures, all the way back to the book of Genesis, in the beginning, it was God's voice that made things happen. It's that God enjoys his voice being shared with each of us. Since in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, God could have went to the workshop and created all things, but instead, God spoke and said, let there be light. And Genesis chapter 1 gives us the record of all the statements that God made to bring about everything that we know, we see, and we understand. Genesis chapter 2, God spells out his design for the perfect place he designed for the creatures he made in his image to live and to thrive. We learn in Genesis chapter 2 that God said it's not good for man to be alone. And he created a suitable companion, a helper that would live with him. So God establishes the first relationship, God and humanity. And then the second relationship he establishes, man would be united to his wife. God has always been all about relationships. And by God's design, this covenant, this promise between God and his people, his children, and between man and woman, his children united together, God designed relationship to be important and powerful in how we live out our days on the planet. In the beginning, God spent time with people, and people engaged. They communed with God. They walked with God and talked with God. It was all part of God's design. And as you read through the Bible, that never ended. God continued to speak with people, to talk with people. Clear down to the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, where John was speaking to John, speaking with John on the island of Patmos, where we would understand the revelation that God would give us at the end and the conclusion of the book, from the front to the back. One of the conclusions that you can draw is that God enjoys speaking with his people. But here's the thing. For some reason, that can be really intimidating. For some reason, often for people that are even mature in their faith, it's a scary thought to think that the God of the universe wants to speak directly to me. And in fact, there's been conversations I've had over the years, many conversations of people who are just freaked out at the thought that God might talk to them. And I think maybe it could be that we're afraid of what he might say. How crazy would it be to believe that God wants to have a personal relationship with me, sent his personal presence, the Holy Spirit, to live with me, but then doesn't want to speak to us? God desires to talk to you, for us to hear and recognize his voice. And then we get to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 is the first we read of the serpent, of the devil, who has come to do what he does. The devil shows up and he tempts Eve. The first temptation that he provides Eve was not just to eat the fruit. The first temptation that he provides is to question or to doubt, did God really say that? The first temptation that the devil gives to Eve is, are you sure that's what God said? Or maybe a little bit differently, are you sure that's what God meant? Would he really give you such a beautiful garden and then tell you, it's all yours except this one particular beautiful tree, don't eat that fruit? Is that really what God said? I want you to catch that, because we're going to come back to that here in a little bit. But it's so, I think, tragic that we're so easily swayed. Are you sure that's really what God said? The first thing that the devil did was try to get us to doubt, or to get us to question the very things that God had said. Really, should you eat that or not? And from there, the temptation grows. From there, she eats the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, this is the one you shouldn't eat from. From there, she shares the fruit with her husband, with Adam, to which I really want to make a joke about how bad of an influence, but it's Mother's Day, so I'm going to let that one go. Scripture says, but that was the very first moment that they felt shame. They'd never experienced that before. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8 tells us, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about the garden. So they hid from the Lord among the trees. The story continues on in Genesis chapter 3. God asks, where are you? He's come to the place where he's probably met them before, and they're not there, and he asks. And we understand God never asks questions to find out answers. God asks questions for us to discover why we did what we did. And he asks the question, where are you? Adam replies, we heard you in the garden. Some translations say, we heard your voice in the garden, and we were frightened. We were afraid. So we hid. Happy Mother's Day. To all you moms out there, thank you so much. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here. That's the best joke I got today. But it's true. Like, there is something significant about being a mom. Researchers would tell you that at 18 weeks into a pregnancy, the infant can hear sounds from inside the belly of the mother. 29 weeks out, the baby can hear sounds outside the body of the mother. There is something supernaturally soothing to a baby about hearing its mother's voice. I think part of that is probably that for 10 weeks, that's the only voice the baby could hear. And you got used to the murmur and the sound and the heartbeat of the mom who would speak to that. But it goes on. The relationship with our moms, it goes on and goes much deeper, much quicker. With moms, think about that, maybe you don't remember, that first year of life where mom spoke so soothing and so kind, getting you to sleep at night, getting you to take a nap or take the bottle to soothe you when you were upset or when you were hurting. So loving, so endearing. And as you got older, that continued. Who was it you wanted to tuck you in at night? It was probably mom. Who was it that you wanted when you fell off the bike and got a cut on your knee? It was probably your mom. Who was it that you wanted when you wanted, or you heard a noise from under your bed and you were scared? It was your mom. Who was it that you ran from when you were in trouble? My kids would say, Dad. Well, that's different. Up to this point, Adam and Eve had never experienced the wrath of God. They'd never seen an angry God. They'd never seen what would anger God. Yet in this moment, they knew we did the thing that God had told us not to do. And instinctively, maybe, they went and they hid. Who was it that you hide from when you hear mom walking up the steps knowing you've done something that you weren't supposed to do? Adam and Eve became scared of hearing God after they sinned. It wasn't until sin entered the picture that there was any reason for Adam and Eve to be fearful of who God was and what God was about. When man sinned, we became afraid of the voice of God. And it might be for some of us that's still where we live. I'm afraid of the voice of God because he may say to me something that I don't want to hear. Or I may be disobeyed God and I'm fearful of the voice of God. God walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the garden. They were close in proximity in relationship until sin entered the picture and they ruined it for everybody. We ruined it for ourselves. But then later, when the time was just right, Scripture teaches us that God sent his perfect son to sacrifice his life and to restore the relationship, to restore our ability to walk and talk with God in the garden again. Over the last few weeks, we've tried to be really practical on how to position ourselves, how to posture ourselves, how to prepare ourselves that we might hear clearly from the voice of God. We've looked at scriptures that teach us we don't need to be afraid of hearing from God. We've looked at ways to recognize. In fact, today we'll talk a little bit more about ways to recognize when it's really God's voice. We can help you get prepared to hear the voice of God, but none of us can help develop a personal relationship with God for you. That's our own responsibility. That's our own. As a mom, we understand that it's our responsibility to develop the relationship. As a dad, it's our responsibility to develop the relationship with each of our kids. And through Jesus, God gives each one of us an opportunity to have a personal relationship with the God of the universe. But that relationship will only go as deep as you develop. The depth of our relationship with God is never contingent on God. God's given us access to all of him. The holdup is always me. If you read through the book of Genesis, it's kind of a good storyline of how to get things wrong. Time and time again in the book of Genesis, we see where God's people did a great job of messing up the relationship that God wanted with his people. So that by the time we get to the book of through the book of Genesis, all of God's people, the Israelites, have been taken slaves in Egypt. And we get to book number two. We get to Exodus. Exodus chapter 3, we learn that God has positioned a guy named Moses to lead the freedom campaign. Moses will be the guy that God has called upon, anointed upon, and is going to have to lead the million-man march out of slavery and into the promised land. Exodus chapter 3 is where Moses first hears the voice of God through a bush that's on fire but not being consumed. And in the conversation, God gives Moses a handful of instructions. If you think about it, when your relationship with your mom was very infantile or very small or immature, it wasn't that you had deep conversations, it's that mom was probably giving you more instructions. Eat your vegetables, brush your teeth, brush your hair. I said go to bed 3 times ago. Anybody else? No? Okay. We get it, but as the relationship has matured, our conversation matures, and it deepens, and it strengthens. Listening to my oldest daughter come back home from college and talk to my wife, it's a beautiful conversation. There's still some instruction, there's still some advice, but it's a personal conversation. It breaks my heart a little bit, I'll be real. Like, my baby girl's growing up, but what a beautiful conversation between my wife and her oldest daughter that they can talk about things in life that are so much bigger than wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your hair. If I wanted to hear from God, if I want a personal relationship with God, then it falls the responsibility on me on how deep I want to go in this relationship. And over the next few chapters of Exodus, we read how God and Moses, they develop a stronger and stronger relationship. As we proceed, God gives Moses the instructions to negotiate the freedom of the slaves. God gives Moses and reveals to Moses the Ten Commandments that he would present to all of God's people. We understand that a healthy relationship is built on some basic foundations of trust and good communication. You can see this unfold between God and Moses. The trust that Moses has in God continues to grow. The communication between God and Moses continues to grow. And by the time we get to Exodus chapter 33, it says inside the tent, verse 11, inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. God has high standards. God has high expectations. In fact, the qualifications to be in the presence of God is perfection. And I can't achieve or accomplish that. And I'm going to go out on a limb, and I don't think any of us can accomplish or achieve that. But Jesus did. And because of his sacrifice, because of the gift that Jesus gave, his life in the place of mine, his death and punishment for that I deserved, and by faith, God desires to speak with us as one speaks to a friend. That's a whole different level of a relationship with the God of the universe. Now, this is huge. Don't miss this. If the relationship that you had with your mom only exists in the confines of following her rules and following her instructions, I think it's a safe bet to say your relationship with mom probably wasn't all that great. In fact, there may not be any relationship at all. And I would offer this. For so many people, we treat God that way. That my relationship with God is only that God gives me rules and expectations. And I can give you this truth. I believe it to be very true, at least that I've learned in parenting, and I think it applies in our faith as well. If my only context of how I see my mom is rules, then rules without relationship always equals rebellion. If my relationship with God is that God is just about creating and enforcing rules, and I don't work to build the relationship, rules without relationship produces rebellion. People don't walk away from their faith in God when they're building a stronger relationship with Him. People don't walk away from their relationship from faith unless their context is only God is the supernatural, eternal, universal rule maker who's out to enforce them and get me when I mess up. So how do we do this? How is it that we take and make a personal relationship with the God of the universe, with the God who breathed the stars into existence? How do we develop a personal relationship with Him? To which I would ask some simple questions. If you've got a healthy relationship with your spouse, what have you done to develop a healthy relationship with your spouse? If you've got a good relationship with your kids or your parents, what have you done to develop a healthy relationship with your kids and your parents? What have you done to have a healthy relationship with your friends? My mom always gave me some great advice. Listen more and talk less. Anybody else's mom? Two ears, one mouth. Why? Think it through. Listen to the voice of God. How does God speak? This isn't an exhaustive list, but I think it's important for us to know some of the key components to how God speaks. God can speak through many ways, and this isn't like all the ways, but this is ways that definitely happen in the scripture. God can speak through other people. Sometimes God places significant conversations in our path that He can speak to us through other people. Just today, before I came up to preach, I crossed paths with a gentleman who came up and he said, God told me the Holy Spirit prompted me to pray for you. We've never done that before, and I can promise you that the word that he prayed for me was exactly what I needed to hear this morning. Oftentimes, God will use someone to speak on His behalf. Maybe it's the lyrics to a song. Maybe you hop in the car, you turn on the radio, and the lyrics just are a word from God. Maybe a conversation that you get to be part of, and the conversation takes a different direction, and you know in your spirit that God is using this person to speak to me. Acts chapter 21, God spoke to Paul through a guy named Abacus. Now Paul is the writer of two-thirds of the New Testament of the Bible. God spoke to Paul clearly in an individual basis, but sometimes God will use other people to speak to us. God speaks to us through godly counsel, pastors and counselors and small group leaders. Mature followers, God will often use to speak to us, to give wisdom to us. If you read through the book of Proverbs, it gives so much simple instruction about the value of finding godly people to gain wisdom from. Sometimes God speaks through a still small voice. A couple weeks ago, we said, what is it that we need to turn down or to tune out that we might hear the whispers of God? I'll be honest with you, there's only been a handful of times where I've heard the audible whisper of God. Let me tell you, that'll mess with you a little bit. I was about 20 years ago, and I'm a school teacher, and I'm driving down the road, and I'm passing by the church where my wife and I were attending, but we were just attending, on my way to see my grandma. And I'm driving my wife's Jeep Grand Cherokee, and just as I pass the church, I look over, and I hear a whisper in the back seat of the Jeep, to which you think, what a holy moment. I ran off the road. No joke. Slammed it in park, jumped out, opened the back door, because I was fighting somebody. And then I realized there was nobody in the car. So I get back in the driver's seat, I sit down, and I didn't go anywhere for a minute, and I just repeated what he said over and over again. And what I was hearing was God's voice to tell me, teaching has been fine, but I've got a pastoral role for you. It was a still small voice that I almost missed and truthfully made me angry. Matthew chapter 1, Jesus' stepfather Joseph, God speaks to him through thoughts. Sometimes God speaks through thoughts. Usually those thoughts are thoughts that kind of don't fit in the conversation you're going with. Last week I confessed I spend a lot of time on the lawnmower because I can't hear anything else except the thoughts that God puts on my mind and in my heart. And I hear often from God things I need to wrestle with or think through while I'm on the lawnmower. Matthew chapter 1, God does that. God often speaks through peace. If I can just camp here for a moment. Sometimes I believe the most well-intended Christians stay on the sidelines because we want to hear a word from the Lord. God, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to take this job. If you could just give me a yes or a no. God, I'm not sure I'm supposed to buy this thing. Can you just tell me, do it or don't? God, I'm not sure I'm supposed to go serve here. Am I supposed to go lead this group? God, if you could just give me some sort of confirmation, some sort of yes or no, can I just offer this, that oftentimes the questions we ask God to answer, He's already answered in previous conversations. And sometimes we forget that if it aligns with what God has already asked us to do, He's probably not going to say yes again to it. I'll be honest, for Katie and I, when the job became available for a lead pastor at the church, Katie and I began to pray about it. And I didn't hear a still small voice, but I heard that still small voice 20 years ago that said, Luke, you're not going to be a teacher, you're going to be a pastor. And because I'd heard that voice, when Katie and I prayed about whether or not this was the job we should pursue, we both felt an incredible peace. My flesh did not feel the peace. My flesh thought, you're not qualified for this. You're not prepared for this. You don't know what you're walking into. But in the midst of all the chaos and misunderstanding or confusion or whatnot, we felt, both of us, a peace. That God had already put us in position. He had already called us to this. Philippians chapter 4, his peace, this peace of God will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. God speaks often through circumstance. The downside of circumstance is often like Jonah we talked about last week, the circumstances aren't all that fun to experience. But like Jonah, most of the time God speaks and we didn't want to listen, so God uses circumstances to catch our attention. Now here's the thing. God can speak through any of those means anytime that he wants. He has that ability. But sometimes we can hear very similar voices in very similar settings. There's been times where people have come to me and spoken to me and told me, God has given me a word for you. And can I just tell you, there's been so many times where that was the word I needed to hear, just like this morning. That was an encouragement that I know was from God. But there has been times where someone has come to me and said, Luke, God gave me a word for you. And I always engage, like, I don't know who you are, but I'll listen, I'll see what it is. And there's been times where someone will say, this is what God gave me for you today. And in my mind, all I can think of is I was just talking to God, and he didn't say nothing like that at all. In fact, God has given me three words for you today. You is crazy. Matthew chapter 16, so much happens in a little tiny amount of time. Matthew 16 is when Jesus is talking to Peter, one of his closest disciples. And Peter answers the question about who Jesus is, and Jesus is like, that's right. And because of your faith, you are a rock. And just a couple sentences later in Matthew 16, Jesus explains to the rest of the disciples, I'm going to go away, and when I go away, bad things are going to happen, but I must endure these things because it's part of God's plan. And in just a few sentences, Peter goes from, I am the rock, to Jesus, I ain't going to let that happen on my watch. That's not going down. Lord, I will not let this happen. You know how Jesus responds to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. A minute ago, Jesus was assuring him, encouraging him, you are a rock. And just a few moments later, Peter responds in a way where he wasn't really hearing from God. Sometimes good, godly people can miss it. Sometimes God speaks through a whisper. But if I'm being honest, sometimes that whisper is, I probably shouldn't have warmed up that chicken that's been in the fridge for 8 weeks. And what I thought was maybe a prompting of the Holy Spirit is probably just a prompting to, like, the diaper. Never mind. Sometimes God speaks to us through the thoughts that he implements into our mind. And sometimes, if I'm being honest, those thoughts are our way to manipulate what we want to do in the first place. It's our way of seeing the thing that we wanted to accomplish or the thing that we wanted to pursue and just packaging it with some Christian candy coating. Oh, I've got a word from the Lord, and he's given me something. It's filtering through my mind, and here's what it is. And really what it is just our way to hyper-spiritualize something that we just wanted to do in the first place. So I'll offer this: the best way, the most reliable way, the most consistent way that we can hear from God is by listening to the words that he's already given us. Romans chapter 10. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're here today. Oh, yeah, I didn't see that coming. The pastor tells me we need to read the Bible. Yeah, I didn't see that coming at all. I mean, wasn't the Bible just written a couple thousand years ago in a time that really had nothing to do with today? Come on, there's so much more to the Bible. The Bible is authored by God and written down by about 40 authors. It was written over thousands of years to collectively tell one story, that God loves you, that God is willing to sacrifice anything and everything to redeem and restore his relationship with you, that God wants what's best for you, even when you can't see it, because God wants a personal relationship with you. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is alive and powerful. Can I just pause? If we believe that, that changes everything about how we hear from God. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. The average American home has 5 printed copies of a Bible laying somewhere in it. 85% of our country, from birth to death, 85% of our country owns a smartphone or a tablet. There are numerous free apps that we can download with any translation in English of the Bible that we desire. But just like your mom, who always puts those vegetables on your plate, we can have what's healthiest for us to eat and choose to never take a bite. We can have the Word of God sitting on our table and never take a bite. So can I just encourage you this morning? Wherever you are in your journey to understand the scriptures that God has already given us, don't get complacent with where you are. You might be brand new. The Bible's never been a thing for me. Can I just offer there'll never be a better day than today to start. There are Bible plans that have been put together by really incredibly smart people. There are things that you can do to start to take simple steps to build the habit, to schedule an appointment with God to hear from him. If you've been reading the Bible for a while, can I encourage you? Don't just get consistent in what you've already done. Instead, let's develop that relationship with God on a whole nother level, because we can have all the intent in the world, but if we don't create the time, make the time, schedule the time, prioritize the time, it just won't happen. If you have trouble finding a translation that makes sense to you, ask one of the people at the church. We would love to help you find a translation that God can speak to you through. If you struggle to understand some of the concepts, I would encourage you maybe invest in a study Bible, one that helps you understand some of the hard topics and also tells you about some of the references, because so much of the scripture ties to other parts of the scripture to tell this story, God's redemptive story of all mankind. If we want to go closer to God, he's not the one that makes it difficult. It lays in our responsibility. So when God speaks, I would offer this. Confirmation is critical. Confirmation in God's word is critical to understanding what God has to say. God will never say something to you personally that contradicts what God has already said to everyone else. God will never say words to you that don't align with what God has already said. He may say things that are contradictory to what we think. He may say things that are contradictory to what we want to be true. But God will never contradict himself. I hear people say all the time, well, I just don't believe that God would ever say something to me, do something, or have me to do something that contradicts my own conscience. Can I just offer this? There are so many examples in the Bible. Probably the most powerful one is a guy named Abraham and his son Isaac. If you don't know the story, it's way back in the beginning. Abraham was a man of God. God was calling him up to be a leader. And God called for a sacrifice of the greatest kind to prepare to offer his oldest son as a sacrifice of worship to the Lord. Now, I won't say that I've never thought, God, which one of mine? No, that's not what we do. As a parent, we want to protect our kids. As a parent, we want to provide for our kids. As a parent, we want to do everything we can for our kids. And I got to believe that for God to tell Abraham, this is what I need from you, had to contradict everything that Abraham wanted to do. But yet, he confirmed it with what God was saying. I had a husband and wife come in for counseling one time years and years ago. And they sit down, and quickly into the conversation, the wife says, God told me I need to divorce my husband. I'm like, I hate to hear that. I mean, God hates divorce, but I also understand the scripture gives us some context of, you know, this is probably okay. I mean, God hates it, but this is something that needs to happen. So I start asking questions, and she knows the Bible pretty well, so she picks up on the questions that I'm asking really quick, and she kind of pauses me. She stops, and she's like, listen, he treats me really well. He's generous, and he's kind, and he's always polite. He takes care of me and our daughters really well. But the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, honey, he's holding you back. To which in my mind, I had some thoughts of, God called you, honey? That sounds a little bit fishy. And she proceeds to say, he said, honey, he's holding you back. I want you to find someone who has enough money to provide the things that you want. It was all I could do not to laugh. Like, come on, show me that in the scripture. That's not what God said. That's not what God is about. Here's the thing. Even with the totality of the Bible, if we try hard enough, we can cherry pick some passages, twist them to fit our agenda, and we can make the Bible build the case that we want. I'll give you an example. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, Jesus is going to spend some time. He's scheduled an appointment with God. He's going to go to spend some time in the wilderness alone, just him and God praying and fasting. He made an appointment. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. The devil crashes the meeting. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time, and he became hungry. Jesus is fully God, but he's also fully man, and the humanity of him experienced hunger. Then the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. And Jesus responds, no. The scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, confirming what he knew to be true with what the scripture had already said. Then the devil takes him up to a high elevation so he can see far and wide the kingdoms on the planet. And the devil says, if you just bow down and worship me, I'll give you authority in all of the kingdoms. And Jesus responds, but the scriptures say man should only worship God alone. He quoted the scripture again, verse 9. Then the devil took him up to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and he said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. Check this out, verse 10. This is the devil. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt the foot on the stone. The devil leveraged Psalm 91 to tempt Jesus to do the thing that he knew not to do. So verse 12, Jesus responds, the scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. I don't know about you, but I'm the easiest person in the world to lie to. I can lie to myself. I can build a case that I want to believe is true so much that in my mind, I can make it true. Have you ever bought a new-to-you car, and then you drive it that first weekend, and that first weekend you realize 100 other people had the same idea to buy the same car as you? We have this tendency as humans to make a case for the things we want to be true, to look for the evidence of something that we believe to be true, that we want to see. We can hear parts of what we want to hear, and we can get really good at ignoring the parts or modifying the parts that we don't want to hear. Can I just offer this? If you're reading in the Bible and it challenges the way you think or the way you behave, don't write it off and ignore it. Don't get upset by reading it. Instead, align with it. Reading the Bible isn't about God teaching us to better understand our thoughts. Reading the scriptures to better understand his thoughts and his ways. God didn't give us the Bible so that we could find ways to build our own case and create evidence of our own preferences. God gave us his word for direction, for correction, but also that we can learn to be in a relationship with him and we can grow better in our understanding of who he is and his character. God is not your heavenly father, the cosmic rule enforcer alone. God sets the standard, but his desire is closeness in relationship with you. When I understand the voice of my heavenly father is a loving, endearing, warming, welcoming father, I can be corrected and still experience gracefulness. I can understand that it's rigid, but also still feel endearing. I can be challenged and still feel comforted. It's in your notes. There's no such thing as selective hearing when it comes to hearing from God. If you're in the Smith house, you might disagree. There can be selective hearing. In fact, my wife is incredible at selective hearing, which I'm fine with as long as it's with the kids. I'm sorry, I don't hear in that tone. I'm sorry, I didn't hear anything before you said please. It hurts a little bit when she says it to me when she doesn't hear what I had to say, but that's a different context for today. Selective hearing doesn't work in the kingdom. We can't pick and choose the parts of what God has said that we want to adhere to. Because if we only listen to part of what God says and don't listen to all of what God says, then I'll bend his word to build my kingdom. Confirmation is critical. Confirmation that he has already said what he is confirming with me, that he's already repeated it and he's repeating it to me. But sometimes confirmation is also necessary in the character of God. That God is love by character, that God is loving. But sometimes what's most loving to me isn't what I wanted. That God has plans for me, but oftentimes those plans aren't the easiest thing for me. That God is ready to work in me, but sometimes he's got to work some things out of me first. So we confirm the voice. Is this really who God is? Is this really in alignment with what God has already said? Is God prompting me to do something? Is God nudging me to go somewhere? Is God stirring in me some words to offer? I need to confirm it with what God has already said. And then I like to call it, and then we confirm it with the fruit test. Not does it smell like apples or does it taste like oranges, but the fruit test. You see, if God speaks to us because he sent his personal presence to us, his Holy Spirit, then it would make the most sense that when God speaks to us, it aligns with what the Holy Spirit is about. Earlier this year, we did a series on Galatians, and Galatians chapter 5 spells out for us the fruit, the results that the Holy Spirit intends to produce in us. You can read it with me, Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. God's design is not just to be the cosmic rule enforcer, but to be a loving, endearing Heavenly Father. And we ought to mirror the image of our God through the fruit that His Spirit produces. God wants to speak to you. God wants to talk to you as one speaks to a friend. Can I just offer from my own experience, the more we build our relationship with God, the more that conversation flows freely and so healthy. The more that trust is gained and grows. The more that I understand what God is attempting to accomplish through me or for me. God desires to speak to you. And when He does, make sure it aligns with what He's already said. Make sure it aligns with the character of who God is. Make sure it aligns with the fruit that God wants to produce. I believe that God wants to walk with you through the cool breeze, right through the garden. Tune into the right frequency, and you can hear from God. We pray. God, I am so, so grateful that You are not a God who has abandoned us, who has postponed us, who has put us on hold, who has told us, someday I'll speak to You. But You are a God who draws near. You are the God who desires to be in close proximity, who offers His voice as a voice of instruction, a voice of correction, but also a voice that draws us in. God, may we be a people who don't look for others to build that relationship. Maybe we be a people who seek You as individuals, trusting You and communing with You every day. God, we thank You for this incredible gift. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.